Today we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 24. And I believe if you've been kind of watching what I've been trying to develop, you'll be able to see that there are a lot of things that most times we take for granted is going to be way at the end of the world. Way at the end of the world, sometime way down yonder road, or at any moment, it's going to be the end of the world. No more problems. No more things going to happen. And many times we also think, well, the end of the world's coming, but we're not going to be here. Those poor souls that are left, they're going to catch it. But I've tried to present a side that the people that heard Jesus, they got to see a lot of what he talked about. They got to feel it. They got to experience it, and they went through it. I don't know how successful I've been thus far, but I have noticed that some people are willing to go and look at some of the history. When you buy Josephus, it's going to be dealing with the wars. He has two parts. You have one that's called the Antiquities, things that happened what we would call Old Testament. But the wars, the insurrections, that's going to cover a lot of things from there. Maybe I'll give a list in the future when we finish, maybe some things with Tacitus. I'll try to see the ones that I give you, if it can be something you can look up online so you don't have to spend any money. You know, if I can find it online and then put the little link or what, not the link, but the, what is it called, URL or website where you can go to it yourself and just see some of this information. But Matthew presents Jesus here as the one who teaches the way of escape. He teaches the way of escape from the wrath of God. Now understand, when we talk about a way of escape from the wrath of God, you don't outrun the wrath of God. You don't find your little rock and hide. The way you escape the wrath of God is to do what he says. When you do what he says, his wrath moves on to someone else. He has the ability to know how to pass over those who know him and are doing his will. Those that don't, there's no way they can go to get away from his wrath. If they could make their bed in heaven, he'd find them there. If they could make their bed in hell, he'd find them there. If they flew to the uttermost parts of the world, he'd find them there. And I would tell you, child, there's nowhere. There is nowhere. If I said it the third time, then I'd say there's no hiding place. That was a song that was taken from the Psalms. You can't hide from God. We stopped at around verse 28, so let's just look at verse. We stopped at 28, but I'd like to look at 25. It says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity." It's bad enough that there's distress of nations. Then on top of that, you're going to add some perplexity into the matter. It's kind of bad, isn't it? You need me to do something.
I was trying to
see
when you were reading.
Oh, are you in Matthew?
No, I'm in Luke. I got away from because what I wanted to do. I saw you looking. I didn't know I had flipped over to there. I stopped it for where the carcass is. There were the eagles be gathered together. And 29, I need to do that. 29 says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." I was reading the parallel passage. Let me read it again. And this is Luke talking about it. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations." Now, if we're gonna pay some attention a little bit to Luke today. And it said distress here, we're talking about in straits. in anguish. So distress of nations. I don't like when my
perplexity.
Yeah, cause when you click on the wrong button, it'll do what you tell it to. Go ahead.
The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth.
And I'm going to read in Mark 13, 24 through 37. This is Mark. Usually people feel that Mark is writing what Peter is telling him to do. So when you start looking at the history of who wrote what and so on and so on. So many, 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 many people think that John Mark wrote Peter's gospel, okay? That's another issue, but anyway. But in those days after the tribulation, I want you to hear how he says it. In those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he shall send his angels and shall gather his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. So I want you to see that the information that's given is so similar in each one, the way that they say it. The way that they say it so that you can understand what's going on. You'll hear people talk about cataclysmic changes. The sun, something going wrong with the sun where you can't see the sun anymore. And the moon is maybe turned to blood, or the moon is not giving her light. And then stars falling from heaven. And as a kid, I used to try to figure out, when the star falls from heaven, how big is the star? And how is it going to be? And I mean, because even then, it bothered me that the stars were going to fall from heaven. Well, let's talk a little bit about the history. In the Jewish nation, there was a young man by the name of Yusuf. We call him Joseph. And Joseph had this dream. And in Joseph's dream, he dreamed something that bothered his daddy. He dreamed that he saw the sun, the moon, and he saw the 11 stars bow down and worship him. In that dream, when he saw the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down and worship him, that 11 stars were his brothers. The sun represented his father, and the moon would represent his mother. Now, what happens is when a person takes that kind of perspective into the book of Matthew chapter 24, they can easily make it be that this is not really talking about the stars in heaven, that they're not necessarily talking about the moon per se. And this is the way some people take the scriptures. There's another thing, if you're familiar with Egypt. The man that's in charge, his name is, we call him Pharaoh. In the middle of that P-H-A is a R-A-O-H. The R-A is for Ra. Ra is the sun god. So you could say, into some, the king is considered to be like the sun. And the mother or the wife, the queen, is like the moon. Or even in some places, we even have the name now. You ever heard of a metropolitan city? You ever heard of the metropolis? Those that have heard of Superman? You know, I think he worked in the metropolis area. Well, that word comes from Matur or Matir, which is the mother. And the stars would be vassal areas that were taken. To say it this way, if a kingdom had a lot of, not states, but what do you call those? Let's just say kingdoms. Because I want to say states and counties, and they weren't using states and counties then. But if they had a lot of people that they had conquered, you could call those the 11 stars, or you could call those stars. And this is talking about governmental upheaval. This is one of the views that is given in dealing with this passage. Now, is it true that there would be kingdoms that would have problems? Is it true that things like that could happen? Absolutely. But let's look at some places in the scripture where we are dealing with something or God talks like that before. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10 is one of those places where this talks. That God is talking about his judgment And I'll start at verse 9 to kind of pull up a little bit. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. When you see the day of the Lord cometh, it's usually about judgment. It's usually about the wrath of God, unless something had happened and somebody had done something to you as a nation and you were being delivered. If you were being delivered when God's wrath come, it's not wrath for you. It's deliverance. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Notice the feminality of that. Shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now, I don't know if you all realize in the ancient world, men worshiped the sun, not just Pharaoh, not just him being the sun god, but when you have gods like Baal, and you have different Baals, and you'd have different Asheroth and Molech, you'd have Chemosh, she's the sun god. I don't know if we've gone through Chemosh when we went through the kings or not, I don't remember. Say what?
I think you mentioned it.
Chemosh, the sun god. People worship the moon. That's why when you talk about Arabians and they talk about Allah, Allah was the moon god. You see the little crescent? Allah was the moon god, as well as the oak tree. They don't necessarily want you to know that, or they may not know it themselves, but Allah was already considered a god before Muhammad came on the scene. So it says the sun, the moon, and it talks about the stars of heaven. Those that are in a high place of prominence and position, they're going to be brought down, and their light not going to shine. Their glory is going to be brought down low. And he says, I'm going to punish the world for their evil and for the wickedness of their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease. I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make man more precious than fine gold, even a man than golden wedge of Ophir. In other words, like a hunk of gold, like a golden wedge, talking about like that. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth and remove her out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Now listen to how this thing develops out when we see it. And it shall be as the chaste roll and as the sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn to his own people and flee everyone to his own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined shall fall by the sword. I want you to understand that with this kind of language, with this kind of talk right here, if you just seeing that the sun is going to stop shining and the moon is going to stop and you're going to stop having the tides, you don't have any more stars at this particular time, how is it that people are still going to be stabbed? How is it people going to steal? A man going to be worth so much unless you can see that God is talking higher than what we just talk about, sun, moon, stars. Because if all that stops doing what it does, how many men going to be left? You don't have any. If you don't have anything else to give chlorophyll, the greenness in plants that you eat, then we got a problem. But I'm going to read on and let you see he's talking about somebody in particular. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children shall also be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravaged. Do you really believe that the scripture is saying, when the sun is no longer shining, and the moon's no longer shining, the stars and constellations are not giving their light, that men are going to still be raping women? I know we wicked. I mean, I'm talking about as men, not necessarily individuals. But mankind is wicked. And I know mankind love to go and just lay up with the woman that they feel they can get away with and have no responsibility in it and just do as he please. But do you really feel that there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no constellation, the earth is shaking, I see people tremble when the World Trade Center went down. And it don't look like that was man-made. And I'm saying when all this is going on and you got people still killing people with the sword, women being ravaged, this is where when you see people that take and say that this stuff has already been fulfilled, don't just dismiss them. Don't just dismiss them as being ignorant and stupid, because when they go back to this scripture, they're going to say, they're going to show you this, and when they get to verse 17, let me show you. Their children shall be dashed into pieces, their houses shall be spoiled, their wives ravaged. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver or gold, and shall not delight in it. When, as soon as you are told, when did the Medes run? When did the Medes do something? When did the Medes take over? When did the Medes take over the East? Well, let's say, it was Babylon, then the Medes and the Persian. So it had to be sometime after the reign of Babylon and a little bit before the reign of the Greeks. Is there anywhere in history that records that all of this stuff happened? No more sunlight, no more moonlight, earth being shaken and all of this. But if this has happened to the people that they were attacking, and if God said this is what was going to happen, it happened, and you must begin to look at how was it fulfilled then. Don't just take the one that's in Matthew and say, I'm going to impose on it, it's got to be this way. Because here he said this was going to happen, and the Medes were going to attack these people, and they don't even care about your gold or silver. They're not going to be bought off at all. And it says their bows shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare the children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdom, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So here we have a picture of what the scripture says. We go back to where it says in verse 10. We have a scripture here where it says the stars of heaven and the constellation shall not give light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not give her light. And then you see right here where it says in verse 13, the heaven and earth shaken. Remove her out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. We understand, and this is called the day of the Lord. Am I at least making a point that there was a time that God said certain things were going to happen to a group of people, and based on the fact that the Medes did get destroyed and they were conquered and the Greeks did come to prominence, we've never heard of the Medes rising up again being so powerful. Now the Persians are. The Persians are still powerful. They're trying to get us to attack. And we're like, we're going to leave those Iranians alone. Those are the Persians. And when they fight to kill. They fight for keep. They don't spare little women and children. Whatever we have to do to get you, we'll get you. So let's look at this that passage here. Let's go back to Matthew.
Wasn't that said about Egypt as well?
Yeah, I was going to do Egypt next.
Okay.
That's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. You're right in line with me. So I've shown you this right here. I've shown it to you in Isaiah. I need to go back. I want to go back to Matthew so we don't lose our thought every time I go to it and pull up a reference. In Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days, we need to see one thing here. It says, "Well, who sounds like the power went off? That's the sound when power go off." Oh, that's what it is. Okay. And there it says, and I'm going back to 27. For as the lightning come out of the east and shineth into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't remember going through this, but from the east to the west, that's the way the Roman army came through. The Roman army came through from the east to the west and ravaged Jerusalem, destroyed Jerusalem, tore Jerusalem down to the ground. And if we can say that the day of the Lord came, and he came with fierce anger, and those people were destroyed, why is it that this could not be that was the coming of the Lord and his vengeance through them? Because God told them in the days of Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar, that is my servant. He's the one that I'm sending. Nebuchadnezzar didn't blow his chest up on his own. Nebuchadnezzar didn't get to be who he is by himself. I run this world. I set up one, I take down another, and a thing can do about it. You can't even run your mouth unless I let you breathe my air. I can let you get emphysema, and a word won't even come out of your mouth. You and if I feel like it, I take that from you. Sometimes we estimate who God is while we running our mouth. That's not fair. I don't see why God had to let it be like this. I don't see why God had to let this happen. Who are you? You don't see why God had to let it? Have you ever had your breast cut off and hung upside down and cut in half? That's what happened to some of the people that say they were Christians when some of the French came through and did stuff. If you all ever listened to that thing I gave you all on smoke screens, when they would do all those atrocities to people and burn them, we have a sickness and things and we feel like God is unfair. How unfair have we been to him? When we lie, cheat, steal, lay up with somebody of the same sex, opposite sex, won't do what we supposed to do by our families, husband and wives, and all this, and we gonna talk about God's not fair, as if we're always fair, and we think it's incredulous for God to be unfair. How dare he do me like that? You don't get to determine fair for an almighty God. You don't even get to determine what's fair most of the time for a teenager. The biggest thing you have with a teenager is how you've raised them. And number two, they don't have any, if they don't have an income, they're eating your food and sleeping in your bed and using your electricity. And you better make sure they know it. Because some of them I've seen will take your house, put you out. Don't think they can't do it now. I just don't like to go home. My children, they just... You need to find you somewhere else to live if you can't control your own house. Yeah, I'm telling you, God, they'll come in and take over. Am I saying something that's true? They'll take over, and they don't have no qualms about it. But the sun and the moon, that's what I was talking about, the sun and the moon. But I wanted you to see this. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. After the tribulation of what days? What days did we cover last week? Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, wars, famine, all of those things have taken place. And he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, after the tribulation shall all this happen, not before the tribulation. And I want you to look at verse number 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And it says it's the sign, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. Now, what I want to say to you is, if it's saying that the sign of the Son of Man is coming, who is it saying is going to see the sign? We have to go to Luke. Luke 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. You want to read it for me, Ann?
And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth near.
Whose redemption?
Your.
He's talking to his disciples.
Where was she reading?
Oh, I'm sorry. We went to Luke 21, 25. Would you read it again for them? Because I didn't say it loudly enough. And they're like, what in the world is Tim and Ann cooking up? I know they have code language. But go ahead and read it for them again, please. The same part you just did.
And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken,
And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Okay, here's the picture. All of this judgment, all of this, whatever kind of thing is going to be the sun and the moon being darkened. All of this when it's distressing nations. All of this when men's hearts failing them. It looks parallel to me to what we just saw in Isaiah. Women being ravaged, people being killed with the sword. You see the earth shaking, heaven shaking. It looks like God's judgment, does it not? Mm-hmm. And they have gone through these things. And it says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, when you say see the Son of Man coming, we think that he's coming down from heaven right now, right? That's what you would normally think. But listen to what he says after that. He says, and when you see these things come to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. If that's the case, that that's when your redemption draweth nigh, how is it then that you will say that you're going to heaven before this happened, when it says before? We're staying in Luke. Let's look at Luke and this 21. Mm-hmm. You can do 20, please.
20. Yeah. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is
nigh. Now, do you not see that this is for people that right there could see it and understand it? Read on, please.
Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains.
We're not in Judea. They were. And let them
which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto.
Remember when that woman, when I was reading from Josephus last week, she went and entered in, had that money, and then she ended up having to roast her baby and eat part of it. And even the soldiers that were coming through, they wouldn't even eat it. But see, she did. She went exactly against what Jesus said. And to say that this had no bearing on these people is only for way, way, way when the world's going to end, I have a problem with that. Because I can see what's going on. Read on, please.
For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
The how many?
All things which are written may be fulfilled.
Then he gives a woe.
But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people.
Did you hear what the emphasis was? It's going to be upon this people.
I'm missing something.
Okay.
Which is, I'm still missing the link to the Son of Man coming at this period of time. Could you go back over that again? The Son of Man, because again, I guess my mind is still thinking of the Son of Man coming at the end of the age. Okay, so tying it into this period.
The Son of Man, as the Son of Man, as I would try to show you, or the Lord coming in clouds was a term that meant God's judgment was coming, and he didn't have to physically come there.
Okay, all right. Okay.
That was God coming.
Okay, that clears.
Yeah. And the people saw it.
That clears up what you're saying.
Yeah. Because that would be God's judgment. I can give you one without reading it, because most people, I think, are pretty familiar with this. When the day of the Lord came on Egypt, now God really did darken the sun and made it black, made it dark. And God did come in with his wrath and execute judgment. And the people that had gotten out of Egypt and gotten into a safe place with the blood on the doorpost, they lived. And insofar as the terminology, the ground being shaken, the ground even split, well, the water split, and was able to go. And God brought all his distresses and things upon the people. Now, by the time we get to the book of the Revelation, we're going to see some of those same plagues again. I'm going to submit to you before we get to the way that I see this, is that I see both. I see God able to do both. He's shown that he's able to do both. So when you have somebody saying that this has been fulfilled, there are places in the scripture where this kind of language has happened and has been done, where it was God coming, but they didn't see him coming as they saw him when he walked to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He came.